to Social Geek Radio, brought to you by Social Joey. Here is your host, Jack Munson.
You're doing what you've been told. You're listening to Social Geek Radio. Welcome back, geeks. It's episode 38 of season 9 of Social Geek Radio. And today we're going to be talking about the topic of bullseye marketing with author Louis Godima, who's just written a book called Bullseye Marketing, and he joins us right now on Social Geek Radio. Hello, Louis.
Hi, Jack. How you doing?
Very well. Thanks for joining us today. I've read a portion of the book so far, which I understand has just been released, and I've got a whole bunch of questions about bullseye marketing that I'm going to hit you with. But first, can you give us a little background on yourself and tell us a bit of your story?
Sure. So I've been doing marketing for over 30 years, digital marketing for over 20 years. My very first client, actually, was Clico Toys at the height of Cabbage Patch Kids.
Ooh, nice.
So for listeners who remember Cabbage Patch Kids, it was the hottest consumer product of the time. In fact, in the first year, they sold more Cabbage Patch Kids dolls than the entire doll category the year before.
Oh, man. And that had to be, what, 1983, something like that?
Yeah, very good. It was around 83, 84. And then since I'm located in the Boston area, I started to do a lot of work with tech companies It started my own marketing agency. IBM was our biggest client, did several million dollars of work with them, did a lot of work with the Boston Globe, companies like EMC or venture-backed startups like Endeca, which is now part of Oracle, or Speechworks, which is part of Nuance. And then pivoted, really focused for a while on the education market, small colleges and private schools, did a lot of website development, had our own content management system. And I sold that agency in 2009. And now I work directly with clients again, helping them using my bullseye approach primarily, but helping them with the programs that will develop more leads and sales for their companies.
So you're working.
And I also.
Go ahead.
I also met startups at MIT.
Oh, very good. So you're working with a lot of clients one on one in sort of a consulting mode. And is that what led to the book Bullseye Marketing?
Yeah. So probably the two major ways I work with clients is I either do a 1 month, what I call a marketing strategy sprint to help them develop a strategy which they then can implement on their own or with other agencies or with me, however they want to. Or I provide, through my company, managed marketing services, where it's really kind of a virtual marketing department for a smaller mid-sized company.
So they're outsourcing to you what they really can't do in hiring an entire marketing department and supporting that. It's bringing you in to fill that role.
Yeah. You know, one of the reasons that I developed Bullseye Marketing was I had over time realized I had developed a kind of playbook that I was using to work with these companies, and primarily small and mid-sized companies, but that goes up to companies with 1,000 employees. But there's aspects of it that impact or useful for enterprises as well. And I started to think about, well, why do I have this playbook? Does it actually make sense? Have I just gotten into a rut? And then I realized that there was actually a whole reason, a whole rationale for it that made a lot of sense. So basically, the big challenge that Bullseye Marketing deals with is that most companies don't market. I did research on this, and once you get out of the tech sector, you have very few B2B companies especially, but B2C companies also in that, you know, under 1,000 employee range that really don't do a lot of marketing don't have really built out marketing programs using digital marketing and all the best channels. And then if they do try it, they often try the wrong things, because marketing used to be so simple, relatively. You only had 6 or 8 ways you could connect with customers 30 or 40 years ago.
Sure.
You know, you had print and radio and TV and direct mail and a few others. But now you've got dozens and dozens of channels and literally over 6,000 marketing software vendors and thousands of consultants who are all saying this is the thing you should be doing. And so for companies that aren't marketing, it's tremendously confusing, overwhelming what they should do. And so that's another barrier to starting to market. So the way the bullseye approach works is that first, every company that's been around for a few years, and this isn't as true for startups, but if a company's been around for a few years, they have what I call marketing assets. And very few companies are taking advantage of them. This is like having cash stuck in a shoebox under your bed. Your customers are an asset, and companies need to listen to, talk to, and sell more to existing customers, because it's way cheaper than trying to close new accounts.
Yeah.
They need to improve their website messaging and experience. That website traffic is a huge asset, but for most companies, 99.9% of the people who come to the website come and go, and they have no idea who they are. They have no interaction with them. They need to make their website a lead generation machine with offers and conversion optimization. Email marketing I talk to companies literally where I'll say, SMBs, where I'll say, how many email contacts do you have? And they'll say, we have 9,000. We have 22,000. And how often do you email them? Oh, once a year at Christmas.
Well, we don't want to bother them too much, right? You probably hear that a lot. We don't want to be pushy and bother people. Yeah.
Well, and what you, McKinsey, the consulting firm, estimates that email marketing is 40 times more effective than social media. And so that's a great marketing asset. So these are all marketing assets, and that's what's in the center of the bullseye. And the company should take advantage of those. It's really inexpensive. It can be done very quickly in many cases in a matter of 3 to 6 months. I've had clients where I've doubled their website leads in less than a month. So,
and you're starting with these assets that they already have, because it's really, it's sort of the low hanging fruit, right? It's big lists of customers and things that, that you don't have to spend a lot of money on developing.
It doesn't cost a dime to listen to a customer.
I love that.
But there are so few companies that have listening conversations with customers as opposed to selling conversations. And even I'll be talking to executives at companies who are developing new products, and I'll say, talk to 20 or 30 customers, run this by them, and get their feedback before you spend $1 million developing this product. And it can be really hard sometimes. Or I had a situation with one client where I was doing these interviews for them, and the CEO, the owner, said, oh, all our customers care about is price. And I'm always skeptical of that, but I said, okay, well, I'll interview someone and see what they say. And part of my interview is, at a certain point, I'll say, here are 7 or 8 factors that may have gone into your decision to buy. Rank the top 3 for me. And I list off things like quality, price, timeliness, things that competitors don't have, services competitors don't have, and so forth. And the first customer I interviewed, who was a longtime customer with this company, the first thing out of his mouth was, well, price wouldn't be in the top 3. And yet that's what the owner thought was number 1 for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so having these conversations, learning what's really important for your customers, selling more to those customers, you know, that's in the center of the bullseye. Then the second ring is once you've taken advantage of those marketing assets, is selling to companies or customers who want to buy now, because it's a big world. And you could spend a lot of time marketing to people who have no interest in what you're selling today. But if you can identify who actually is looking right now to buy, which may be only a 10th or a 20th of the total market, then you can be much more cost effective in your marketing and business development.
Yeah, so it's only a 10th, but it's the right 10th, right? It's the people who are looking to make a purchase.
Well, I was telling you how we had at my company, we were selling to colleges and private schools at one point, and we developed a database of 3,000, and teleprospecting was actually important for us. But once we had been doing this for a couple of years, we knew when every one of those 3,000 had last updated their website. And then we wouldn't call them for 3 years because they weren't going to update their website with us the year after they had just redone it.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to understand, and search marketing, search advertising is one of the ways you can do that. There's other ways. And then the third ring of the bullseye are these long-term awareness and branding programs like social media, like blogging and content and advertising, display advertising and events and so forth, which typically can take 2 or 3 years to have a real impact. They can be tremendously valuable in the long run. But the irony is that if you ask many people who are unfamiliar with marketing what marketing is, they would say things like social media and content marketing or inbound marketing.
Yeah.
They would start with the,
or
they would
not be television ads or something like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And because they aren't successful in 6 months or so, they'd say, well, see, we knew marketing didn't work for us.
Yeah. Yeah. See, we told you it wouldn't work.
Right.
So, of these three areas, do you advise clients that they need to focus on one first, or do they need to do a little bit in every area at the same time? You know, what does the timeline look like?
Well, if a company has a real commitment from the executives and they have the budget and the people and everything they need to really do it, they could do all three at once. But I'm assuming that most companies who are looking at this don't have that. And part of the value of the bullseye approach is that you have quick wins and you build confidence and buy-in with your executive team. So you start with that center of the bullseye. And some of those things are absolutely vital before you do anything else. For example, conversion optimization, you know, what we call conversion optimization on the website or on your landing pages, so that when people come there, you get a higher number of them, a higher percentage of them engaging with you and, you know, buying your product or downloading your white paper or signing up for your webinar, whatever it is you want them to do. If you spend a lot of effort bringing people to your website before you've optimized it for them to do business with you and to convert, that's like, you know, trying to fill a bucket that's full of holes. You know, you're just wasting your money.
Yeah, you don't really want those people there until you're ready for them, right?
Exactly. And so that's foundational. A lot of the center of the bullseye is foundational. And so almost always that's where the best first opportunities are. And then you build out to the second and third rings.
You know what I like about that, and I think it works especially well with business owners and maybe with you know, especially with B2B brands, is that you've kind of turned this whole thing upside down. There are so many marketers and consultants that start with the big picture and, you know, we've got to get brand awareness out there. So, you know, I'm going to need a few million dollars in advertising funds to get your name out there before we can even think about selling anything. And it seems like you've turned that upside down and, you know, through using the brand's assets that are available first, you've created some conversions, or you can create some conversions without spending a ton of money on awareness. And I think there's got to be something pretty attractive to that for business owners.
Yeah, I think so. I one time had an experienced startup CEO who's probably on his third or fourth company in his mid-40s say to me, "I've spent $1 million building our brand. Now I would like some leads, please."
Yeah.
but, you know, that's the startups to, you know, that's, like I said, startups are a little bit of a different animal. But it is a bit of a contrarian approach, because you do have these popular techniques that get a lot of buzz, like social media or inbound marketing in my outer ring. But they're there for a reason. And if companies really want to produce some results, see some ROI, they won't start there.
Is there a particular type of company that you were thinking about when you were writing Bullseye Marketing as far as size? Is this better for a larger enterprise or a mid-sized company or a small company?
I think it really just has to do with companies that have been around for a few years and have developed these marketing assets that they're not taking advantage of, you know, that I see over and over again. Mm-hmm. I actually doing a book signing. I'm in the Boston area and was doing a book reading and signing last week. And there was a guy who's a CEO, but who's been a CMO at a number of companies, who was there. And after I read the introduction and explained what Bullseye Marketing is, he said, "I don't think this is just useful for small and mid-sized companies. I think this can be useful for any company." And I absolutely have run into particular parts of, you know, in very large companies, multi-billion dollar companies, that they are often not taking advantage of those center of the bullseye opportunities, even when they're, you know, have hundreds of millions or billions of dollars in sales. And so when I was sending the galley around to get feedback from some people, I had a very experienced head of marketing also ask if he could share it with his marketing team. And he thought that it was very valuable for them too. So I think it really is for any company that's been around, ideally for a few years, to have built up some customers, some email, some website traffic. But in almost any case, they're not really taking advantage of them.
Very good. The book is Bullseye Marketing. The author is Louis Godima. Louis, you've got some really heavy hitters that are involved in your book here that are telling some stories. Some of my favorites: Ann Handley, Jenny Dietrich. How did you rope all of these fine folks in?
I have the secret. I ask.
If you don't ask, you don't get, right?
Well, it's really remarkable how that works. But in some cases, these were interviews I had originally done a couple years ago that were being shown on the IDG Connect, that were for the IDG Connect marketer blog. And I was Ann, Scott Brinker, I interviewed originally for that and for my own blog. And then I asked them if I could reprint part of it for the book. The interviews with Jenny Dietrich, Evan Kirstel, some of the others, Jim Ewell, who's a real expert in agile marketing. I just reached out to them. And, you know, if someone's new to this kind of marketing and working with these people, once you have two or three, then you have the kind of social cred to approach a lot of others.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Social cred. Love that.
You know, if you can say, "Hey, I'm doing this book and it's going to include, you know, interviews with Ann Handley and Scott Brinker, would you be interviewed too, et cetera?" You know, that's a good lead paragraph for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Suddenly I'm really interested. Yeah. Very good. One quick note. I do want to mention today's episode of Social Geek Radio is brought to you by Franchise Dictionary Magazine. The August issue is out and it's focusing on fitness franchises. You can check it out today at franchisedictionarymagazine.com. That's franchisedictionarymagazine.com. Louis, in the couple of minutes we have left, why don't we tell the folks where they can go to learn more or check out the book or learn more about you and your business, and maybe if you've got some speaking events coming up, is there a place we can send folks?
Sure. So I'm going to be they can buy the book on Amazon, of course, either Kindle or paperback. They can order it through their bookstore. The book website is louisgadima.com, and that has some reviews and information about where I'm going to be speaking, and that's always changing. My business website is revenueassociates.biz, and so people can go to revenueassociates.biz or email me at Louis, L-O-U-I-S, at revenueassociates.biz. And happy to hear from them and to talk with them.
Great. We'll put a link to those as well as to the book site for louisgadima.com on the Social Geek Radio website and Facebook pages as well, so people can follow through there. Louis, thanks so much. Good luck with the book. Can't wait to read the rest of it. And we will talk to you again very soon.
Thank you, Jack. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks so much, and good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Social Geek Radio. Copyright 2018 Social Geek Radio.